From Tidbits, on October the 8th, 2012, this is Why Do Airlines Require Us to Turn Off Our Gadgets? By Steve McCabe. You could be forgiven for feeling a little confused if you've been trying to keep up lately with the various regulations and requirements surrounding electronic devices on airplanes. Something I try to do, even though I spend more time teaching physics than flying these days. For a number of years, the rule has been quite simple. No personal electronic devices may be used below 10,000 feet, the altitude at which the captain will typically turn off the fasten seatbelt warning, and, generally, a point in the flight by which the aircraft has left the busy airspace around a major airport. But recent news from American Airlines would appear to undermine this regulation. Last month, American announced that paper flight manuals and navigation charts were to be phased out on their Boeing 777 flights, with iPads taking their place. In late 2011, Americans' pilots began using iPads as electronic flight bags during some phases of flight. This new development sees iPads being used in the cockpit during the entire flight, from pushback to parking. However, American Airlines passengers must still turn off their electronic devices before takeoff, and leave them off until 10,000 feet. The requirement remains for passengers to power down all electronic devices, cell phones and laptops, Kindles and iPads, even the very iPads that the captains of American Airlines 777s are using while they are telling their passengers not to use theirs during departure and arrival. So why does the US Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA, continue to apply this rule? If, as American Airlines has demonstrated, iPads in the cockpit, inches away from the very avionics they could theoretically interfere with if they were in the hands of passengers, represent no hazard to flight safety, why then can they not be used in the cabin? The answer simply seems to be that the FAA's regulations regarding personal electronics are a holdover from the dark ages of tech. Part 91 of the Federal Aviation Regulations, the FARs, bans all personal electronics with a handful of specific exceptions. Portable voice recorders, hearing aids, heart pacemakers, jolly decent of them there, and electric shavers. An eclectic list, to be sure, but one that's really antiquated. Portable voice recorders, really? And long overdue for an overhaul. And once the overhaul is complete, given that the rest of the world tends to follow the FAA's lead in this area, perhaps the de facto international standards will also relax. The FARs do allow the operator of a flight, in the case of commercial flights of the airline, to allow the use of any devices they have determined to be safe, but the FAA has issued guidelines that ban electronics under 10,000 feet. And so the FAA's request for comments on the matter, issued on the 28th of August 2012, is long overdue. Clearly, these regulations are in need of review. Modern portable electronics are designed to conform to US Federal Communications Commission, FCC, rules on electromagnetic emissions, and should be able to handle interference from other nearby devices. If my iPhone can handle some stray radio waves, then surely a $100 million Boeing jet should be equal to the challenge. The US Transportation Safety Security Administration, the TSA, clearly does not regard portable electronics as a significant threat to flight safety. Even though passengers in US airspace are prohibited from carrying more than a thimbleful of liquid through airport security gates, portable electronic devices, which the FAA fears could send a plane plummeting from the skies just because a passenger started playing Angry Birds, are waved through. If these devices actually represented a safety hazard, would we be allowed to carry them on board? Similarly, ask yourself this. If your iPhone really had the potential to down your plane, would your flight attendant be happy simply to ask you to turn it off and then trust that you've complied? In reality, many new passengers don't. A simple search on YouTube for takeoff and landing videos suggests that plenty of aircraft are landed on a daily basis with all manner of electronic devices running in the back. We travellers assume that there is no evidence to suggest that portable electronic devices can actually cause accidents. If there were, then we would be prohibited from using our electronics at any phase of the flight, not merely during takeoff and landing. The FAA's own fact sheet on the matter suggests that I have to turn my iPad off to avoid distracting the flight crew because they will be concentrating especially hard. It says, at a lower altitude, any potential interference could be more of a safety hazard as the cockpit crew focuses on critical arrival and departure duties. The same fact sheet also points out that the FCC bans use of 800 megahertz cell phones because of potential interference with ground facilities. Not confirmed interference, and not with in-flight electronics. But most modern electronic devices have some form of flight mode, or in the case of the iPhone, airplane mode, that disables all wireless transmissions while allowing the use of all other functions. Again, we should remember that this rule is clearly being flouted on a daily basis to no ill effect. The argument goes that a cell phone several miles up has direct line of sight access to a large number of cell phone towers, many more than it can directly communicate with one on the ground, and it can thus confuse the cell networks. By this logic, we should also presumably ban the use of cell phones in tall buildings, atop hills, or anywhere else where such a situation might occur, but we don't. For the same reason that the in-flight rule is so weakly enforced, clearly there is little actual impact and no evidence of a safety of flight hazard. Besides, if this were an issue, wouldn't the FAA point the finger at the cell carriers rather than claim it's a safety issue? It's also worth bearing in mind that the requirement that iPods and iPhones and the like be turned off until 10,000 feet has interesting unintended consequences. When a plane passes this altitude, as many as a few hundred devices could all be turned on at the same time. Hundreds of devices being powered up simultaneously will presumably result in a major surge of electromagnetic radiation, but electromagnetic interference is yet to be implicated in a single crash. Indeed, the FAA itself has, albeit grudgingly, admitted that there is no evidence to suggest that in-flight electronics have been responsible for accidents. The New York Times quotes an FAA spokesman as saying, "There have never been any reported accidents from these kind of devices on planes." So maybe the issue is not specifically electronic, but more broadly mechanical. When the fasten seatbelt sign goes on during heavy turbulence, an iPad could, in theory, be thrown from a passenger's hand and become a lethal projectile. The laws of physics don't entirely agree with this argument, though. The kind of turbulence that's invoked in discussions such as this tends to be vertical rather than horizontal, rendering iPads rather harmless. And if we're banning electronic devices on this basis, what about other heavy objects such as books? I have little doubt that banning of books on flights would lead to a major passenger resentment. There would be riots in the aisles. And again, it's not like the FAA states this is a problem. The claim is always that the regulations exist to prevent electronic interference with avionics. When I talked about this on Radio New Zealand's 9 to Noon programme in December of 2011, the topic generated more email from listeners than any other subject I've discussed on the show, with many comments coming from pilots who are concerned that if there is currently a ban and there are no crashes, then best to leave well alone. But speaking as a commercial pilot and a physics teacher, as well as an avid user of innumerable electronic devices over the years, I am strongly of the opinion that this is a rule that has outlived its usefulness, if it ever had any. I am hopeful that the FAA's invitation of input from the public will result in a modernisation of rules that are so out of date that they suggest that portable voice recorders a cutting-edge technology. This article has been updated with several new paragraphs to address the issues raised in early comments about these regulations existing to prevent problems with cell phone network and to eliminate projectiles during turbulence. Neither holds up under any scrutiny, nor is either reason ever given by the FAA. Note from Adam Ext, publisher. This is Tidbits, sponsored in part this week by Bare Bones, Crash Plan, Smile, Intigo, Noteboom Productions, ScanSnap, and Das Keyboard. To follow links, make comments, read related articles, subscribe to our podcast, and get updates via email, RSS, Twitter, Facebook, and our iOS app, visit us at tidbits.com. And thanks for listening. Just don't listen to this below 10,000 feet on a plane. Thanks very much.